The Geekatorium 27-hour podcast challenge on FUBAR Radio.
It's midnight. I'm Paul Gannon. This is Richard Sandling. That's Eli Silverman. Hello, boys.
Hello.
Hello, Daddy.
Oh, yeah. This is the FUBAR Radio presents the Geekatorium 27-hour podcast challenge for your mind.
Do the flipping admin.
We are not doing this for the good of our health, lovely people, lovely listeners. In fact, what we are doing is trying to raise money for Comic Relief. We have a target of £500. We'd like that to happen. So, if you'd like to get involved, please use this web address and donate. It is www.my.rednoseday.com/sponsor/geekatorium27podcast. If you go to geekatorium.net, if you go to fubarradio.com, all the links are there. Tap it, click it, donate. It's as simple as that. If we're also looking for topics, if you do hashtag 27 topic, any topics you got in mind, give us a shout. And 27HR pod, that's just for general slurs and comments, I think, at this point.
Wow, that's a shitload of admin.
It is.
Wow, about 2 minutes of it.
And, you know, if tweeting is not your thing, you can email us. If you go to email and you want to use an email, you can email us at this email. It is... Shit, we're 4 hours in and I'm fucked. It is studio@fubarradio.com or tweet us at fubarradio.com. No, I'm fucking
not.
Tweet us everything at FUBAR Radio.
Everything, yeah. So, we have been joined by... We have been joined by the head honcho, the brass of FUBAR Radio. Please give a warm round of applause to Duncan, everybody.
Hello, sir.
Have you actually ever been on the mic before, as an interesting aside?
If I have, I can't remember.
That explains the drinking. Good. So, the reason why we got Duncan in is obviously to say hello.
Mm. Okay, I'll tell you why I'm here, because...
Go on.
Before the show started this evening off air, you said to me, I'm quite a sceptic when it comes to spookiness, ghosts, that sort of thing.
I'll tell you why, though. It was because I spent 3 years ghost hunting for my solo show, and I got into it because I had a massive mental nervous
breakdown.
3 years
ghost hunting?
Yeah.
Like in your spare time?
Yeah, practically. I mean, what happened was...
How sad are you?
No, well, very sad. That's why
Pretty
I got
sad.
Into it.
He's got terrible taste in films. Well.
Yeah, you've established that.
Seriously, 3 years ghost hunting. Did you find any?
No. This is the point I'm trying to get to.
This is a really tricky ghost. Basis of your opinion.
Yeah.
There aren't any ghosts. Okay, no. So I'll tell you the story about this place.
Okay, go on.
Right, so... You're in the building called the Bus Works.
Yeah.
So in 1875, when this building was built, they built buses that were horse-drawn here. If you've noticed, if you walk the whole length of North Road, it's about 500 yards... This building is huge.
It's a big building.
So where the car park is, underneath where we are now, there's a massive void which used to be cobbled. It used to be 400 yards, so they built the buses out of wood and crappy wheels, horse-drawn by 6 horses, and they road-tested them the entire length of the building. Way before health and safety. I mean, this is not 1970, this is 1870.
All right.
So, didn't give a crap, obviously. So, they just put a load of people on these buses. 6 people it was, every single time. When one got finished, they put 6 people on the bus. 6 horses. No coincidence there about the numbers, by the way.
Gathering.
And they threw them down the length of this building as fast as they could to replicate what it would be like going around London.
So they weren't drawn by horses, just dragged along some track?
No, they were drawn.
Oh, they were?
Yeah.
Oh,
they had the whole caboodle down there.
Right. So 6 horses galloped down a cobbled hallway, as this is underneath us now. But the weird thing about this road is it's quite steep. We're on the 4th floor. If you look out the window, it feels like you're on the 1st floor. There's quite a gradient.
Yeah. Ah.
So directly beneath us would be the extent of the 400 yards.
Okay, I see, yeah.
Which is where all the deaths occurred.
Oh, and there were plenty, I'm imagining, then, by the story.
Yeah, 102.
Holy balls.
Yeah.
And how did they justify carrying on doing that without that many deaths?
Well, because labour was cheap and life was cheap.
Oh, well, then, fair enough.
So you just put a load of, probably scousers, because they are the lowest of the low, of course, you know.
Oh, yes.
You just probably bust them in, put them on the bus.
Just above the Irish.
Right, all right, mate, get on the bus, right? Yeah. And just, you know...
Hold on.
Hold on. So, exactly that, yeah. And, Yeah, apparently, out of 102 people, well, actually, no, there's 102 deaths in total over 57 years.
Okay, so, so regardless of the death, what are there any ghost stories here? Though?
Yeah, because okay, so Justin Lee Collins is obviously a man's man, but he ran out of here screaming like a huge child because...
he saw his...
it was his third week here, and I told him about this story, and he was live on air, and he went, fuck! Fuck! Like he does.
Yeah.
Well, he does that a lot, anyway.
Okay, yeah.
I've just been touched on the shoulder. And there was no one behind him.
Oh. In here?
In here, yeah.
Oh.
In fact, in that very chair where you're sat now, quite seriously, he was... he felt... I mean, it's Justin, so you never know.
Yeah.
But he did genuinely rush out the studio.
That's pathetic.
Well, we thought so, too.
Is he coming by?
I didn't pay his invoice that week, put it that way. He legged it because he said that I was touched on the shoulder and there's no way I'm going to stay in that studio ever again. He came back the next week.
Of course he did.
Well, you know, he's skint too. Yeah. He had to come back in, you know.
That's how you get him.
Yeah, yeah. No, genuinely, there's a presence here, and we did a... obviously, FUBAR, it's not regulated by the regulator, Ofcom.
Yeah.
Big deal here. One thing you can't do on regulated broadcasting is have a séance.
Hypnotism, séance is the whole
so
lot.
So we did, of course.
Oh, brilliant.
And we got in touch with the spirit that had died in this building. And it was pretty pissed off who even bothered to phone him.
What was this spirit's name?
George.
It's a good name.
Get this for later.
Yeah.
Yeah, because
I'm going to be
roaming. George died here when he was 19 on the back of a bus. He'd never been on the bus.
Now, did anyone doing the planchette and the Ouija board, did they know this information in advance?
Not at all, no.
There's no one pushing it around?
No.
Okay,
not at all.
Interesting.
George came from Rotherham. He was 19, and he came down here and he worked for 3 months as a labourer building the buses. But he graduated to the status of being what was called a rider.
Ooh.
That's not like going doing a gig like you guys do. And having a rider for 17 bottles of lemonade and M&Ms. No, this is a guy that actually
19,
got on the bus.
He'd be sort of a rider for Gary Glitter or something.
Then. Well, that would be unusual, yeah. And that would be quite interesting. Him and Rolf Harris together, no doubt. But
give it a few years,
this guy, he died
that.
On the... generally, he died on the back of a bus.
Christ.
And, well, he fell off. Because the idea was, if you drag a bus with six horses down a cobbled street for 400 yards, if it's no good, it's going to fall apart after about 350 yards.
Because what is it? The suspension's basically just leather straps, isn't it, at that point?
Whatever. Well, there's no suspension.
Well, it's probably made of human skin in those days, but, you know, whatever. But it fell apart quite often. Apparently, one in every 10 buses fell apart.
And he was just on the lucky one.
It's incredible to think that that's what went on those days. And this went on into 1920. They were still doing it.
Not still down here, dragging people to their death.
Well, not all the time. It was only 1 in 10, which is quite good for those times.
Because it's beginning to sound like some Fight Club kind of thing, where they're just getting on downstairs and going crazy.
Yeah.
So, okay, so by and large, you could argue that most places in this area could potentially be haunted, and maybe below us, the dead lurk.
No, this is the level on which they died.
Oh, the exact level?
No, this... as I was saying earlier, floor four, where we are now.
Okay.
As I said, look out the window. Do you feel like you're four floors up?
No. Which is good for when I get suicidal later on.
No, we look about two floors up here.
Two floors up. Yeah. But the way they tested the buses was they put a ramp in, which was entirely made of cobbles and whatever they put it together with, concrete. And that's why at that time it had to be a gradient, and it reached the apex, was here. And we're right at the end of the building, in this room.
Yeah.
Apart from the toilets on the other side of that wall, this is where, if you're going to get it, it happened here.
Oh, that would be wicked, then.
Well, I should go for the toilet, then.
That's your excuse for everything at this point, though, isn't it? Well, no, what I thought we'd do is we'd send you out and we'd let you roam, and then if you can find a quiet space in the dark, just sit there for a bit with the recorder I've got and just see if you can get any EVP. You know what EVP is?
Actually, Paul, since we're on air...
Yeah.
I'm really on air.
I'm beginning to know why, but go on.
I need to check your Scouse credentials.
No, I don't have any Scouse credentials. We've established this on the hour, every hour at this point. I'm a Wirralilian.
But you've got the accent.
It comes out when he gets a bit tired.
Or angry.
Or pissed.
Oh, no, he gets more like touchy-feely when
I'm
he gets pissed.
I'm a bit touchy-feely
the
drunk.
The Scousers are like that, yeah, they do get that.
Yeah, because you're a proper Scouser, aren't you?
Oh, to full on.
Yeah.
Not the full Steven Gerrard, but...
No, I don't like that accent, though. I don't like...
Oh, well, you're doing it now.
Yeah.
I don't like that accent.
I don't like that.
Don't like that.
Thank God we're on radio, eh, people? Hey, thank God. I've always thought I had a soft one, but when I speak louder, it comes out. But when I go home and I've done gigs in Liverpool, there is a marked difference between this accent and, all right, mate, you're right, fucking hell, mate. Oh, it's all wicked.
Pull.
What?
It comes out when you're quiet.
It comes out all the time, actually. I always thought I had quite a soft, nondescript accent, but I'm guessing I'm wrong.
There's nothing wrong with that.
There's nothing wrong with your accent.
Embrace it. It's good.
It's a regional accent.
It's good.
It is a regional accent.
You know all this media lovey stuff about you've got to have a sort of mid-England accent. No, Scouse is good.
Scouse is great.
Scouse has ruled the world. Clearly, they do.
We gave the world the Beatles, and I think as far as I'm concerned, I say we, you, gave the world the Beatles, and that is
and the Zootons.
And Cilla Black.
Cilla, yes, she's good, yeah.
And Fred Talbot. So, you know...
Isn't that guy with that comedian, Ken Dodd? Ken Dodd.
Ken Dodd, yeah, he's a scouser.
John Bishop.
So here's a challenge.
That's just the Liverpoolians.
Point of order, Your Honour.
Yeah, go on. Richard,
well point of order for all three of you.
Yeah. We're all on.
So you're doing a 27-hour marathon, aren't you?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. I'm glad you've noticed.
You've got Mark Watson next door.
Yeah.
How are you going to outdo that? You've got to do something so fucking outrageous that it's going to get in the press, which I can help you with.
We need to think about something outrageous then, and
yeah,
something
you do.
That we need to get the most out of when we're at our tiredest and most frail and fragile. Because you're not going to be here for a while, and usually you're the kicking doll. Write that down. Write kicking doll down.
So I have a suggestion.
What? Go on.
All right.
I'll bring that Ouija board in I keep in my desk.
Yeah. You have a Ouija board in your desk?
Well, of course, yeah.
It's not just a Scrabble board that you're getting confused with now.
Well, actually, it might be. But right. it has a movie around thing, if that's what it's called.
A planchette.
Yeah. Mm. Oh, you know it, do you?
Yeah, I did the research for 3 years. I'm lonely.
I thought it was Jamaican food.
Carry on, you got the Ouija board.
So you get George involved.
Mm.
You get George to speak with a famous DJ.
We'll do Ouija boards. I've done plenty in my time.
So I'm thinking George speaks to Jimmy Savile.
Oh, fucking hell. It's Jimmy Savile.
Oh, God, look at your face. You're just so worried about this.
No, I'm not at all.
I'm really worried. I'm not going to sully my reputation by associating myself with a Ouija
board. Can I just say, giving me a Ouija
Where's
board...
Where's your ball?
I've got plenty of balls.
Come on, then.
The thing is, what they've given me is a plastic cup and a printout of a Ouija board and a piece of black and white paper. It's not quite Most Haunted, is it? And the thing is, you need the glass because it's going to move a lot smoother across the glass.
Yeah, that'd be great. There'd be loads of errors in the spelling. It'd be brilliant.
You don't want a dyslexic ghost coming.
Where's the pointer?
Well, there's loads of ghosts.
I don't understand how that would point.
Well, this is also too big.
No, take the base off. That'll do.
Yeah, we could do that as well, I guess. No, because you need to... The thing about the way Ouija boards work...
You're bottling it, Paul.
Is that just needs
Come
to be... No, that just needs
Come
to be
on.
Bigger than this. Oh,
I've
Come
done,
on. I thought I'm happy to do it. This is not a me not doing things
right,
thing.
Right, let's do it.
I'm doing it.
Let's do it now.
But this isn't going to work because that's too small and that's too big and it's plastic.
That's what
right, I'm going to swing my mic over there and all four of us will put our finger on that.
I can guarantee you nothing's going to happen other than we've got white wine on the Ouija board paper. So that's the only spirit we're going to get come through this fucking thing, I can guarantee.
All right, what coins have you got in your pockets, guys?
That's a good question.
Have you got a 5p piece? That's not a euphemism, by the way.
Eli, if you've got any money in your pocket...
Well, there's always room in my pocket for a few coins.
Call back!
Well, you're an artist, you're always skins, aren't you?
Yeah, I don't have any... A coin would be good.
You definitely will be if you carry on working here, by the way.
There's a penny. Right.
What's more supernatural, 5p or a penny piece?
Penny piece.
All right.
You think?
Yeah.
We can have a go at this. I'll guarantee the problem with Ouija boards is they don't make good radio. It's a lot of sitting around doing nothing.
No, you're going to give a full commentary for the blind.
All right, okay. Right, so.
Right, come on, guys. Come on.
Put a finger. We're
all finger on the penny. Right, we're all pinging a finger on the penny.
It's all going on the penny.
Right, okay.
And you just want to lightly touch it. You're not holding it down.
True.
You just want to lightly touch it.
Take your weight off that, dude.
I'm not on it.
All right, so.
It's you then. Right, we're going to ask a question then.
Eli, if this was taking up the arse corner, you would be a shoo-in for a win right now. The way you're leaning.
Reach.
Come round.
All right, I'll come round there.
Yeah, come on down.
Come on. When you said something outrageous, I thought, I could spank you in the face with my cock or something.
Rufus Allen's got the monopoly on that tonight. Oh, that's stuck on here. What we need to do is laminate that.
We totally need a laminated Ouija board.
Should we work on the laminated Ouija board and sort that out? Because otherwise, we've just got a wet penny stuck in a piece of paper.
It's just going to scramble
up. No, it might get a sexy ghost. There's a wet patch on it.
God, no one wants to lie in the wet patch. Right, here we go.
Ghost Mike. It's the most action they'll get.
Right. If anyone's offended by the supernatural, then grow up. Right, okay, good. Any spirits here in the FUBAR radio studios? Anyone lost? Please contact us through this Ouija board. Make your presence felt by moving our fingers through the penny, through the Ouija board, and speaking. We have a yes and a no. So is right, anyone is it, in the room it's, with
it's,
me?
It's slightly moving towards yes.
Oh.
Oh, fuck me.
Yeah, I'm beginning to think this is fixed.
Well, I didn't move it. Who moved it?
You did.
Well,
you
must have
been. I didn't touch it. I wasn't touching it.
All right, did back you to genuinely... the centre. Back to the centre. No. I thought you always have to reset with a Ouija board. I thought you knew your stuff, Duncan. I guess you don't.
Well, I stopped Satan worshiping you.
Right, okay.
A long time ago.
Any spirits here, move to yes or no. If you're here, to yes. If you're not, move it to yes. That makes no sense. You'd have to be here to move it to no.
How right. to confuse a spirit?
It's their fault for being dead.
It's true.
Anyone?
It's not yeah. actually we could employers.
Do, we could through. Do some donations to Comet Relief from the dead.
Any ghosts want
to
donate?
There's no excuse to be dead, is it?
Yeah. No.
You can't take it money. With you, so give it to us, you bastards.
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah, Leonard, give it in. Mr. Nimoy, if you're coming through.
Jimmy, Savile, give us your fucking money.
Did you die on a bus?
Oh,
it's going.
I like that.
It's moving somehow.
Why is it settled on there?
Oh, F.
Is he? I think Jimmy Sells about to sort the fuck off.
Oh, it's G.
G, F, G.
F, G.
F, G. B, F, G. Is the B, F, G?
No, it could be for God's sake. Let's see if it goes to S next.
Oh, but wouldn't that be strange if that...
Oh, I have to go to the loo.
Don't break the sphere of trust or whatever it is we're doing with the coin fingering.
Oh, it's moving.
Where the fuck...
Where's it going to?
What's that word there?
Ouija.
Ouija, which means yes. No.
That's Robin Williams' film, isn't it?
Oh, that's Jumanji.
Oh,
that's true.
Right.
I saw Ouija was in there somewhere. Oh, we know what that was.
We're going to have to try this again later on with a proper Ouija board and not something that's been
laminated
printed out
version,
and laminated with a pen.
I will be hunting for George.
Okay, you go for George.
And again, if any ghosts are in the studio with us now and they'd like to make themselves known, please do at any point. We're more than happy to receive you.
Thank you very much, guys. I'm going to exit.
All right, take your drink.
Thanks very much.
Thank you very much, Duncan. Round of applause for Duncan.
Good night, good night, good night for now.
Filling our thoughts and fears with dread.
I mean, I'm prepared to have a chat with anyone, living or dead. So
at this point, it doesn't make much of a difference. We're happy. So there you go. Are you happy? Do you believe in ghosts, Silverman?
No.
No.
In a word.
No, it's fine.
But you're willing to... I saw one once.
Really?
Yes, in Yugoslavia.
Okay, tell us that story.
I was looking at a graveyard.
Right.
And there was a wobbly figure.
That is a great anecdote.
Well, what kind of wobbly... say. It was like a...
Yeah, but was it far away?
I tried to do this on, like, a non-visual format.
Yeah, but was it far away?
It was in the
away?
Middle
was
distance.
It in the distance?
Was
middle
it a, distance.
A shimmering mass?
No, it's more like a hooded... caped figure.
Oh.
Was it
cowled?
A cowled figure.
So, you don't believe in ghosts, but you saw that. What would you say that was if you don't think it was a ghost?
I think I was just getting a bit imaginative.
Were you on drugs?
No. I was a child.
Again, were you on drugs?
I was tired.
All right. So, it might just your mind playing tricks because you were tired?
I used to be terrified of ghosts as a child, though. Really badly scared, like bad scared.
What set that off? Ghosts.
This book I had a book of ghosts.
Was it the Osborne Book of Ghosts? Was it one of those Osborne?
I think it may have been, and it had.
Is it the one where there's like the smoke coming out the chimney and it's like a skull's head and the woman in the grave's got the head in a.
Yes,
oh,
it's that
one.
Book. Yeah. The Osborne Book of Ghosts.
Yeah, I've still got that song.
Terrifying.
Yeah.
Really scary.
Horrifying book.
That's where I learned all about Bawley Rectory.
And I used to think that my au pair. Showing my middle class roots here, my au pair would.
Disgusting. Yeah, what a cunt.
Would. would be possessed. And come and kill me. Unless I had my head under the blanket.
Oh, so you thought she would get possessed and come for you?
Basically, yeah.
Well,
wow. Like a zombie au pair.
As a kid, I think there's always that dilemma, isn't there, when you're in bed as a child? It's. Do I have my back to the door so I can see something coming through the window but I can't see what's coming through the door? Or do I sleep with the back to the window so I can't see anything coming through the window but I can see something coming through the door?
I would
There's
do
always
that,
that dilemma.
I used to have a belief that if I flushed the toilet chain, that noise would give me enough safety to get back into my bed before the sound
quieted. Why would the noise save you?
Keep ghosts away.
The rattling of chains.
Yeah, I'd go for a pee in the middle of the night and then I'd flush the chain and then I had the 30 seconds or so from the toilet to rush back into my bed before the ghost got me.
Yeah. These little things.
These little things as a kid. Because I remember going on a first ghost hunt when I was 15. And I've told you this story because it was in my solo show, but basically I was in this... we're in this group that we called the Spirit Squad. It was our ghost hunting group when we were like 14, 15... bit old, I grant you, to do something quite silly. And we did ghost hunting and we try and fill our super soakers up with holy water when we source the holy water from a puddle outside of a church. Yeah. Which I thought counts.
Someone's been blessing shit nearby.
Yeah.
It's on consecrated ground, isn't
it? Exactly. Yeah, exactly. So it's all valid.
Yeah.
So about a year and a half of doing that and nothing really happened. And then we were all growing up. And then a friend of mine said, oh, my dad's pub's haunted. Do you want to stay the night? And we were like, yeah, of course, we'll stay the night. So that night we're up in the attic. Because that's where the ghosts and the bangs and things. Because, you know, like most ghost stories, the ghost was in the pub. It would move pint glasses around on the table. It would make sounds. People would see out the corner of their eye. But the attic was allegedly where the guy died. Whatever. So we were all in the attic. Me, my mate Dave, and another, my mate Carl, all in this pub. And at about midnight, 1 o'clock, the pub closes down. You can hear people filtering out. The place is getting closed. And around 2, it's completely quiet. And nothing's happening. No ghosts. So we'd had our popcorn. We'd seen our movies. We're getting ready. We're in our sleeping bags. Then we begin to hear footsteps coming up the stairs to where we were, because the attic was basically a bedroom and then there was a landing outside and a staircase, and the landing light was on and the door that was on the to the attic bedroom was old, so it didn't quite fit the frame, so the landing light would come through. We hear these footsteps and my mate thinks it's his dad and he goes, "Dad, stop messing about," but no one calls out. And then we start hearing the footsteps get closer to the door and we're all a bit rigid and stuck in our ways and we're all a bit frightened. We've pulled the duvet up round and scared. And then we notice something. As the footsteps get closer, we look at the landing light coming in through the bottom of the door, and if there was something behind that door coming towards us, it would have cast a shadow and we would have seen it. There was no shadow. And now I'm petrified. My guts are swirling. And then my mate Dave decides he's going to get the balls to go and open the door. And as he goes across the room to get the door, the footsteps stop and the door goes ka-chugga-chugga-chugga. He shakes in the frame and he goes to open the door and he grabs it, and as he pulls the handle, it won't open, and this thing doesn't really have a safe lock, it's not really locked, he just can't open the door. So he goes, "Come over and help me," and I'm like, "No, not at all, not off." But I eventually got the gall to go up and grab the door handle with him, and we tugged for a bit. Nothing from you. tugged for a bit, nothing was happening, and then suddenly in one big go we pulled the door, nothing. No one behind that door. But I did discover I had IBS at that age because I pretty much shat my pants.
Sorry.
Well, there you go. That was my first ghost hunt when I was 15. I'm not saying there was a ghost. I'm saying it was unexplained. The footsteps, the sound, the door, it was weird.
I had a thing when I was at home. So it was like my mum and my dad and me. I think my brother as well was at home. We were all, like, just remember we heard the front door open and close. And then, like, someone come up the stairs. And we all assumed it was one of us because we were all upstairs. And we were like, where'd you go? We were like, I thought that was you. And it was one of those things where we were like, no, that wasn't us. We all heard like the front door open and close and then someone walk up the stairs.
Pretty scary.
Yeah, but I mean, it's not ghosts, is it? Because they don't exist.
They don't exist, no.
The thing is, I don't know what it is, but I know what it isn't.
It isn't a ghost.
It isn't a ghost. Whatever it is, it isn't a ghost.
Yeah. Well, you know, Things are discovered.
The super R, you know, just because you don't know what it is doesn't mean it's terrifyingly, you know, just because it's, doesn't mean it's not a mystery.
Yes.
It just means it's not ghosts.
It's not ghosts, is it?
Yeah, no.
No, but I'm fascinated by it all, because it's still really interesting. There's still a sense of,
But I always prefer, like, I always prefer the story, like, finding out what it is doesn't
ruins
actually,
it.
Like, you know, I'd rather, like, I just like a good story, like, oh, you know what that is? Don't care what it is.
It's like Scooby-Doo, isn't it? Yeah. It's like the end of Scooby-Doo is always lame, isn't it?
Yeah, don't.
Yeah, when they take the mask off, you think, oh, it wasn't a ghost.
Yeah.
I was hoping this
when
time.
When you hear those stories
be.
About the Victorian London, and you go, well, it could probably be easily explained. And you go, I don't care. I just think it's a really good story. Like the, was it the Berkeley Square entity? Where you can't stay, which basically that place is still there, but no one dies anymore.
No one dies in there. So, it's above a bookshop now, because the story was basically there's some weird blobby grey ghost, and people were so scared of it they'd jump out of the window. And
no one could stay in there alive. Everyone who stayed in that room died, and it was like people would be found in like locked doors.
Yeah. Scared to death.
There was a sailor, I think, who took a bet and stayed the night there in the 1800s, and they found him dead the next
alarm,
day.
They had like an alarm bell that would ring in the pub downstairs if you was like terrified, and it was all things people do for a joke, and then lots of people died apparently.
But supposedly the bookshop that owns it now, I think it's a bookshop that owns that space.
Yeah, I think it is.
Don't let anyone stay in there. I think purely out of superstition, but they were like, no, we're just not going to risk it. We don't want people throwing themselves out of our bookshop, four windows up.
But it's weird how a place is like, theoretically it's haunted, and then it's not haunted anymore. Do you know,
it's got a sell-by date on its haunting. So yeah, back in the day, 1800s, this place is ripe for ghosts. These days, not as much at all.
You should have been around here when there were no ghosts, but everyone thought there were ghosts. Yeah. There were so many ghosts.
Crazy. Right, let's take a quick break with some music. I am a big Victoria Woods fan. I know. Yeah. And this is her most famous of all her songs. Oh. It's Frida and Barry, which is, you know, the Let's Do It song, basically. So let's do it.
The Geekatorium 27-hour podcast challenge on FUBAR Radio.
Well, we have to interrupt Victoria Wood, of all people, to welcome, witness, my brain is not working, to welcome a special guest who just popped in before she races off, the fantastic Miss Gillian Anderson, everybody.
Hello.
How are you doing?
I'm good. That was fun. I did lots of things.
I was going to say, because we can't see from where we're doing here.
No. So what have you lots of activities. Let's see. I poured baked beans into somebody's mouth.
A dream come true.
I shaved the hair off somebody's back.
Again, a dream come true.
Using butter first, because there's a man churning butter on the stage. Did you not know that?
No, I did not know this.
And then we tried, what was next? Hummus. Somebody in the audience had hummus.
On their
but
back?
First of all, no, I put the hummus on this back.
Okay.
Then toothpaste, blue toothpaste from Korea, I think it was.
What's going on down there?
I don't know, a lot. The razor came from somebody in the audience.
Who just happened to...
And then some fake semen. Am I allowed to say the word semen?
Yes. Okay, completely uncensored radio.
Good.
Which is a godsend for us right now.
So that was a hairy back. And then what happened? I took a bite of a grilled cheese sandwich. I whispered in somebody's ear. It took a lot of talent this evening.
I'm going to say, because it sounds almost like you've kind of recreated the film Saw on stage. It's got this weird kind of...
Yeah, or National Lampoon.
Or something.
Yes.
So they dragged you on, got the best out of you, and then you're off onto the big wide world again.
Well, yes, I'm going to go home to a sick child, actually.
I said that. She comes in, she says, I've got a sick child. And I was like, oh, that's cool. Come in. I was like, no, I don't mean that's cool.
Yes, no.
I mean, come on in. Yes, thank you. Thank you for taking part on Red Nose Day and getting involved.
It's been loads of fun.
And thank you for just turning up and giving us a little bit of your time. Every guest we have is great.
Yeah, well, people need to donate more money.
They do. And if anyone who's listening would like to donate money, you can. And I just moved that over there to here. And so... yes, it's myrednoseday.com/sponsor/geekatorium27podcast. Give us your money, all of it.
How the hell are they supposed to remember that?
I've said it so many times.
But somebody's driving, how are they going to tweet that to themselves?
I'm guessing they're going to have to multitask somewhat.
They shouldn't be on their phone if they're driving.
No, please, if you're on the phone and driving, don't be on the phone and driving.
Pull over.
And then listen back to this. A very long link.
Yeah.
And then once that's done,
and
you're
slow
right.
it down because he talked about 1,000 miles an hour.
Attempt
to write it down from a pen from your glove box, and he's going to say it one more time really slowly.
And that is my.rednoseday.com/sponsor/geekatorium27podcast. And yes, it's too long. But if you go to geekatorium.net or foobarradio.com,
I would give a lot
links.
Of money to hear that more in my life. Goodbye.
Thank you very much. Gillian Anderson, thank you very much. Goodbye. And I think we can now go back to Victoria Wood. Shall we just do that?
Yeah.
Bless her. Right, here we go.
The Geekatorium 27-hour podcast challenge on FUBAR Radio.
Yeah.
Hey.
Woo. Mrs. Victoria Wood there with Barry and Frida. Open brackets, let's do it. Close brackets, don't do it. That was great. She's lovely. I mean...
Hey, Victoria Wood or Gillian Anderson?
Both. Both. Oh, the thing is, she gave us time, she popped in, she said hello, she gave us a few words. That's great. I still wanted to ask her loads of stuff.
Yeah, well.
I just can't.
I know.
Tough.
It's like, the nature of the beast.
I'm excited. I'm like, semi-hot.
Oh, God. He went there. You've gone there.
No, I'm not. That's vulgar. It's weird, though, because obviously, you know, we grow up and we have the what forms are pop culture basis in that year. So X-Files is obviously a huge thing for
I never cared for it.
Get out.
Sorry.
Yeah, get out. You talk about him and his movies.
Yeah, and he's like, oh, X-Files.
Yeah.
A poo-poo.
All right, fine.
Bullshit.
So I've got shit taste in
TV. What TV did you watch growing up?
Get Stuffed.
What did you watch?
Right.
What did I watch?
I don't know. I remember that.
Shut up. I watched all sorts of stuff.
Yeah. Baywatch?
Didn't like that much. I was at boarding school. Because there was one telly.
Yeah, but you said boarding school was progressive and it was all used to watch racy stuff and
well,
snog.
You were forced to watch whatever the consensus was, you know.
What was the consensus at your place?
Blind Date.
Oh.
Everyone loved that.
Well, the girls loved it. The guys couldn't have been into it.
They had to watch Blind Date.
What about
Neighbours?
What about You Bet? Was that, you know...
What the fuck is that?
What do you mean you don't know what You Bet is?
What do you mean, what's You Bet... You don't know what you don't know. Tell him, Paul. Tell him.
You bet, my friend. Let me school you on prime time Saturday evening telly, ITV. It was a TV show where celebrities had to guess if the person coming on stage could successfully do their bet. So someone would come on and say, "I bet I can recognise the type of typewriter just by you typing on it." And I'll listen, and then there's like 100 typewriters, and then
I get it. It's a challenge they set themselves.
And it was the Matthew Kelly presented it.
Yeah.
Didn't someone else present it?
Not sure if they moved on to someone else later.
Matthew Kelly was the person I remember being the person.
He was the Don.
You just referred to him as the Matthew Kelly.
Yeah,
of course.
Like he's some kind of...
You really didn't watch telly in the 90s, did you? Like, the Matthew Kelly. Yeah,
see, you sick of me. You get on side with all the popular films that you know people like. Like, oh, yeah, I love The Shining, me. I'd hate to have a contrary opinion on it, because, I mean, like, Silverman.
Oh, God. Oh, this has turned into an Eli bashing contest. Not in a good way.
Not in a good way, not at all, no. Because all I'm saying is that, you know, it's easy to follow the crowd, Eli. Some of us like to step outside and set our own rules.
And, you know, watch You Bet.
Yeah, I would. You Bet.
I vaguely remember that show.
Yeah? I bet you were Noel's House Party kind of person, weren't you?
Wasn't it if they won... Was it the celebrity had to do a stupid challenge? But it was like money for charities. They were basically betting for charity, wasn't it?
Yeah. So, you know, maybe Shane Ritchie would...
have to eat spaghetti bolognese on a roller coaster.
Yeah, if he lost...
No, if you won. The point is, if you won, you had to do a stupid challenge, didn't you?
I think if it was Shane Ritchie, you'd just make him do it, whether regards he won or he lost. It'd just be one of those kind of, just fucking put him on a roller coaster, give him some soup. That fucker eating.
Yeah, get the fucker some fucking soup, get him on a fucking roller coaster.
You know what the saddest things I ever saw was? It was like I was doing a gig in some theatre space, and there was like pamphlets of other shows going on in that theatre, and one was... I can't remember the kid's name. It was like Brian Ritchie. It was Shane Ritchie's son. Yeah. But what was Shane Ritchie's son doing was an act that his dad did in the 80s. He was literally like Tommy Ritchie doing the act of his famous father. Yeah. And if anyone's ever seen Shane Ritchie's stand-up
in
the
80s...
I've seen him do stand-up at Butlin's.
And?
It's great. Well, I was eight.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, it's great.
And there was puppets involved.
But, yeah, no, like, you know...
No, because there's that.
Plus, he's been in both the Absolute Radio Panthers that I've written.
Has he?
Very, very, very good.
So basically, you're not willing to cross a line now and be honest about it because, you know, social association.
I hate very few people.
Yeah, to be fair.
To be honest, I'm a very
You're a nice guy. You don't hate. It's great.
I hate things.
But
not people.
Yeah, I mean.
There's people I can't warm to, but beyond that, there's very few people I actually hate.
The thing is,
on the comedy circuit, I only actually hate two people. Everyone else, I'm like, they're fine.
Yeah.
Even real pricks. I'm like, take it or leave it.
Yeah, it's fine. Because here's the thing, if you were going to be going into show business and you were Shane Ritchie's son, you wouldn't want your hand-me-downs comedy material.
Well, if you want to be a performer, you know.
Yeah.
Perform.
Yeah.
I guess.
It doesn't matter. It's like this reminds me of Frank Sinatra Jr.
Does he sing? Oh, he does as well.
He does, because he does Frank Sinatra.
He turned up in a Family Guy doing the exact same thing, didn't he? Yeah.
He's a singer. He does show tunes.
Does he sing better than his dad?
No. Of course he doesn't.
I don't know.
Oh, that's just typical Gannon, isn't it?
Actually, yes.
I'm not saying he was. I was simply asking.
I watched Frank Sinatra the other night. Overrated. I tell you who's good.
That guy out of Neighbours. Henry.
Don't you fucking dare. Don't you dare diss Henry. I don't even know who Henry
is. Henry.
This Harold. You mean Harold,
no,
don't
I mean
you?
Henry from Home and
you
Away.
Mean Craig. Yeah.
Henry from Home
you
and
mean
Away.
Craig McLaughlin.
Craig McLaughlin.
Oh, Lola. Jing, 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 jing. He released it as a song.
He did Lola. Lola.
Yeah, he re-released it when everyone in the soaps in the 90s from Australia were releasing songs. Yeah.
Stephen Dennis had a song as well, didn't he?
Yeah, what was that
called?
I can't
remember, but he did.
There's too many broken hearts in the world. Wasn't that Stephen Dennis?
That was Jason Donovan.
No.
And Kylie Minogue.
Donovan.
And Danny Minogue.
And Monugu.
Kiggly Moggly Noogly. Oh, bless. Yeah, I always prefer Danny to get Kylie. Ample. That's all I'm saying. Ample.
We used to watch Neighbours.
No, I never really got into soaps. I consider them a contract. Once you get in, it's like, you know, you've got to stick with it. I'm not interested in that kind of TV.
Yeah.
Especially EastEnders, whose their whole marketing technique is, who can we rape, kill, or... rape and kill this week to boost ratings, and how miserable can we make this week to make it proper drama?
Misery sells. No one wants to watch a bunch of happy EastEnders.
Yeah, but even Coronation Street has levity.
It used to be the riposte to the misery of soap operas, Coronation Street. Like, I know loads of people used to watch it.
Yeah,
because it was quite like, it was fun. It was like, you know, I don't like, I've got EastEnders. If I want misery and depression and murder, I'll watch EastEnders. But I don't. I want to watch something that isn't. And then I go, we need to make this like EastEnders. And then it was like, I know loads of people just stopped watching Coronation Street when once it became like just rape and murder and, you know,
I would tune in on Christmas Day to watch EastEnders if the main plot was they all have a nice party. That was it. If they just had a lovely day where no one gets run over, no one gets stabbed in the park, no one, you know, gets burnt alive, you know, nothing like that. If it was just Christmas Day, everyone has a nice knees up, I would tune into EastEnders for that. That would be a change from the norm.
In other news, the bottom of my thighs have started to chafe.
From what?
From the stool.
Well, then stand up. Stand up and straddle.
Yeah, but, okay.
Yeah, just go on, stretch it.
I will.
Just man up.
All right.
Because, you know, it's nearly 1 o'clock, right? So we need to... He's going to bugger off and
soon
leave us for kids. And we have to figure out... So we need to be on our... I was going to say balls.
It's going down, Paul. Yeah. It's going down in the list.
We need to be on our balls.
We need to be on our balls.
I was meant to say feet. And I'll give you that.
No,
feet
you
and
meant
balls.
To say feet? No.
Yeah. I'll give you that feet and balls are very, very different. But yeah, so how many have I got so far?
You've got Christmas.
Yeah.
As you just said, Christmas. Apropos of nothing. You said Christmas. You said... there's always room in your pocket for a few coins. Whilst trying to tell people to donate.
Yeah, well.
Which was just kind of reverse what you're
work.
Trying to say. Yeah. And I think the classic of the evening so far, my ignorance proved me wrong.
Yeah, fair enough.
Oh, and that's we need to be on our balls is joining the pantheon. Brilliant. Mate, I didn't know you'd be this good at producing.
This prolific tonight. Yeah, fair enough.
Brilliant.
Well, that's all very exciting. We are it is now 10 to 1 o'clock in the morning. We have been going for 4 hours and 50 minutes. How are you feeling?
I'm starting to feel a bit like, you know when you've eaten too many potatoes?
Yes. Exactly.
Now I can join in this conversation.
We used to have this thing in my family, potato drunk.
Moonshine.
No one's ever done this.
Like,
no. My dad would do a big gratin. Yeah.
Now I've lost.
Yeah, forget it. I'm out.
Fuck's a gratin.
It's
a gratin.
You know what a gratin is.
I'm just trying to re-establish my working class roots.
Anyway, you do a massive gratin.
Is that like a shit was pie?
Yeah.
Well, it's with potatoes and milk and cheese.
Creamy,
but
creamy.
Yeah, it's fucking delicious.
I like it.
Yeah.
And then we'd all eat 2 portions.
Ooh.
Shut up.
A double helping.
Mm. Who was the camp comic we had earlier?
Describe him. Stephen Bailey.
Stephen Bailey.
Yeah.
Well, he's not here anymore.
So you can call him a camp comic?
Well,
he was a camp comic.
Think he'd mind being called a camp comic.
All right, fair enough. I just don't think that's on his website.
The gratin.
The gratin. We'd have 2 portions.
Yeah.
All I'm saying is we don't need you to go, Mrs., all right?
That was a tasty. Not
two
portions.
If I say the word portion, I don't want any. I don't want you to say anything, okay?
I can't promise that.
Have two portions of gratin, heaped portions, and then we'd all get a bit giddy.
Ooh.
And it always used to happen.
It's like the meat sweats, but potatoes.
Yeah, exactly like that. And it got to the point
crazy.
Where it'd get a bit crazy.
It's the full fat cream you had in your mash.
The term was potato drunk. And that's how I'm feeling now, a bit potato drunk.
Well,
totally tatered.
I'm spudded out, mate.
He's on the spud, this one.
Look at him.
I'm mashed.
Can we make these gags last another 8 minutes?
No,
to the end
no
of the
way.
Hour?
King Edward.
Yay! That's tubular, man.
That really didn't work.
Tubular.
Tubular.
You have to pay the Maris Piper.
Oh. Potatoes.
Potato.
Oh, God almighty. So, let's think. We got topics.
Well, as you asked me to, Paul,
yes.
I did some prep.
Thank you.
And I had a piece of paper, and at the top of the piece of paper, I wrote topics. Then I put a line down the middle of the paper. The other side of the line, I wrote segments.
Oh.
And underneath topic, I had the word noodles. underneath segment, nothing. And then a few minutes later, underneath noodles, I wrote the words best zombie. So that's what I've done.
So let me just get this straight.
27 hours, everybody.
I have gone through the pain and agony of putting all this together, making sure all the moving parts, getting all the people on side, everyone working together. I ask you to come up with some topics, and you wrote noodle and best zombie.
Yes.
And I'll be honest with you, I'm not sure if those aren't segments.
No. They might be worked in.
You know.
Well, they're not bad, are they? Look, we had Gillian Anderson on.
Yes, I'm glad we didn't save the noodle stuff for her. Hello, amazing actress and star of so many awesome things. What's your opinion on noodles?
She chastised you for being unprofessional.
No, she didn't.
Yes, she did.
When?
She said, who's going to be able to hear that when you fucking garble it?
Oh.
Talking too fast. She said you talk too fast.
I know
you didn't
I
pick up on that,
fast.
Did you?
I did. I heard that.
Enough.
All right.
But then we don't have anything to talk about.
I'm sorry, Paul.
Don't be mean to each other.
Okay.
Share the love, guys.
I'm sure she was being jocular.
She was.
Share the love.
I didn't mean to be nasty.
Share.
I'm sorry.
Do you want a hug?
I don't want a hug yet, but give it a few hours. You fucking will.
We won't have any choice.
I'm looking forward to the 5 a.m. kiss that you two are going to have to make up.
Oh, Jesus.
5 a.m., 6 a.m., 9 a.m. kiss.
I think.
Yeah.
We should play another game in the new hour.
I think we should definitely play a new
as
game.
Soon as
hour.
We haven't got any fucking guests.
Well, this is going to be the hard part. We got a few guests sticking with us for the main part of the night. We've got Stuart Laws popping by, who's a fantastic comedian in himself, and he owns a production company, I believe, who makes his own short films. And we also have Ash Thrift, who's coming along, who's done our podcast a few times, and Sam obviously knows him well.
Brilliant. Went to school with Ash.
Yeah, did you?
Literally. Yeah, I went to school with him.
Oh.
Junior and secondary school. So, like, you know, not
your friends?
Like,
yeah. I wasn't saying that accusatory. It wasn't like, oh, yeah.
We used to make up, like, stuff in our bedrooms.
Yeah? Go on.
Like, we used to, like, comedy. We just used to improvise comedy and stuff like that. And
not like a fort or something.
We'd just go around his house. And like, because he had an Amstrad and I had a Commodore 64.
He had a CBC 464.
Yeah, so I go around his and we'd play, like, a Kick Off 2. And Monkey Island and stuff like that, and then he'd come around mine and play whatever I had on
Commodore.
Yeah,
mostly Dizzy games, I'm imagining.
Yeah, it was quite good. And we just like play Kick Off 2 and play football. It's good.
Manic Miner?
Yeah,
what was that?
That was on most systems that period.
Yeah, there was lots of games that were on sort of multi. You know, like they're available on all games, weren't they? So it wasn't like a lot of games weren't. You know.
Oh, Ash Frith has just texted in. He says, "I'm on the way from Surrey."
Brilliant. Well, that doesn't help us now, does it?
No, I don't even know how far Surrey's away from here.
So there'd be games. What you were saying, there would be games that were on every platform.
Yeah,
basically.
So there wasn't like, you know, Sega is this and Nintendo's that. It was like it was like games we made by like Ocean, who were just a games manufacturer. So they'd be available on all platforms.
Yeah,
because you see the
because they weren't consoles really. They were just PCs, weren't they?
Yeah, they were just like they're basically cassette decks or like floppy disk drives.
Mostly publishers. And all the games were made by, you know, like two guys in their flat, and they would get licensed by things like Firebird or Codemasters. Oliver Twins came from Codemasters, and Codemasters gave us things like the Dizzy games and the Micro Machines games. And that's it.
Okay.
That's not true, actually.
You guys really know your stuff, don't you?
Well, it's just, it was weird, because I
just remember liking it at the time, and I've not forgotten it.
No, I just...
That's more what it is.
The tortuous but glorious thing about those video games is that you put a cassette in, you type the code, you know, you had to go /run, whatever, yeah, then you press play, and then listen for 40 minutes as the cassette loaded the game up, and you had that fax machine sound, that beautiful kind of white noise.
So that was it. You basically have to work out what game you were going to play, and then, like, in an hour.
Yeah.
Because because you basically you'd put the game, and then you'd go outside and play football, and you'd have a like a glass of squash or something, and then it'd be like, the game's probably loaded up now. Yeah. We can probably play the game.
Let's stop having fun in the sun and go inside and play RoboCop.
Actually, you know what? I don't want to play this anymore. Let's play this one, right? What should we do for 40 minutes? Do you know? It was like,
well, you had to sort of actually, you know, put something into it.
Yeah.
Imagine your time, you know.
Gary Lineker's Soccer was the game I remember on the Commodore 64, because I remember it was ridiculous because you could score a back heel from your own like corner flag. It was one of those things where you just kicked it, like basically from wherever you were, you would kick it at the goal.
And would it go in?
Sometimes it did, yeah.
No, for me it was what was that game on? Oh no, it got poured over to the consoles, but it was kind of like that film Rollerball with the metal balls. There was a game based on that. What was that game called?
Yeah, I know. And you had to, it was like, and you'd run. It was one of those ones which was like you're up above them.
Yeah, looking down.
Yeah.
And it was like you throw the metal balls and they bounce off. That was a great game. Yeah, I remember playing that for crazy times.
Yeah.
Crazy times.
27 hours?
We could.
Get it in here.
I was thinking I could have just brought my Nintendo and we could have just played Zelda for a while.
So that what I think is we could do the humming game maybe in the next hour.
Let's try the humming game before something goes. We can have a quick game.
I'm a great hummer.
Yeah. I've heard that rumour. It is basically 2:02. So I reckon we can play a little song, do a jingle on the hour, get back straight into it. Sounds good, boys?
Yeah. Sounds good.
All right, let's
do Red Bull number 3.
Do it.
The Geekatorium 27-hour podcast challenge on FUBAR Radio.